thing you have to aspire to next time. So this is what we're going to talk about today. But before we get started, I'll re-kind of state the purpose of what we're going to do in a moment after we get the prayers done, just in case I see that the recording went up. And okay, so the current text we're going to be discussing. So the text that we're going to be discussing is called The Entrance to the Middle Way. Here, let me do the introductory prayers. The text we're going to be discussing is The Entrance to the Middle Way by Chandrakirti. Not sure the name of the translation group, etc., but you put that in, Chandrakirti, Entrance to the Middle Way, you'll find the main text that we use. I'd have to pull it out and see the exact name of the translation group, but that's in English. It's a full text. Somebody can maybe, once we get to the question and answer, can let you know or put it in the chat section. Everyone has the text. And then the text that we're going to then move after that forward with is called Illuminating the Intent, the Lama Tsongkhapa's Umagoma Rapsel. It's a commentary on Chandrakirti's Madhyamika Avatara, and it's one of the most inclusive texts about the subject of Madhyamika, emptiness, etc., that has ever been written. It's considered really the most conclusive and all-inclusive text that can be found. So it's now been translated, and I rejoice in this, by Thupten Jinpa in English. Wisdom Publications, I believe, a part of his translation mission to do a lot of the works. I think there's a number. I'm not good with keeping up with things, but he's doing a large number of really important texts. And, you know, thank goodness this one has come out. And we can all be blessed to speak with Rinpoche about it in this lifetime. So let's get started with the introductory prayers. And we'll go from there. Hey, is Dan there?
Dan, all right. Not with us.
All right. I was going to switch it up a little bit. All right. The Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge. Thus have I heard, once the Blessed One was dwelling in Rajagriha at Vulture Peak Mountain, together with a great gathering of the Sangha of Monks and a great gathering of the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One entered the Samadhi that expresses the Dharma called profound illumination. At the same time, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, while practicing the profound Prajnaparamita, saw in this way. He saw the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Then through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son or a daughter of noble family train who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita? Addressed in this way, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, said to Venerable Shariputra, O Shariputra, a son or daughter of noble family who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita should see in this way, seeing the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Form is emptiness, emptiness also is form, emptiness is no other than form, form is no other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness are emptiness. Thus, Shariputra, all dharmas are emptiness. There are no characteristics. There is no birth and no cessation. There is no impurity and no purity. There is no decrease and no increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no formation, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no dharmas, no eye, datu, up to no mind, datu, no datu of dharmas, no mind consciousness, datu, no ignorance, no end of ignorance, up to no old age and death, no end of old age and death, no suffering, no origin of suffering, no cessation of suffering, no path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since the bodhisattvas have no attainment, they abide by means of Prajnaparamita. Since there is no obscuration of mind, there is no fear. They transcend falsity and attain complete nirvana. All the Buddhas of the three times by means of Prajnaparamita fully awakened to unsurpassable, true, complete enlightenment. Therefore, the great mantra of Prajnaparamita, the mantra of great insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra that calms all suffering should be known as true since there is no deception. The Prajnaparamita mantra is said in this way. Te atta om gate gate para gate para sangate bodhisoha. Thus, Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, should train in the profound Prajnaparamita. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and praised Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, good, good, O son of noble family. Thus it is, O son of noble family. Thus it is. One should practice the profound Prajnaparamita just as you have taught, and all the Tathagatas will rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, Venerable Shariputra and Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, that whole assembly in the world with its gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One. Ngala ju be ne jo dam ba ne ngu je du ju nga yi du do jen ru ba bo la ma yi bo jin zi ni zong gan ro za la sha zi lo la sa ma ra dun. Agasamara Deshandara Samara Vedeyata Ongate Kati Paragati Parasangati Bodhi Soa Baba Gonjasani Gai Dvendu Jishe Sobo Doji Mipo Doji Shivo Doji Nagi Bhaji Metu Meche Tanji Shedinko Ye Soa Ngirin Dunja Jishu Shivata Mito Nube Tintan Jivata Tumpa Tunjin Pun Tsun Tsun Jodhi Jashi Tijan Tintati Le Jo. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas high, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies in massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready, a shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide. This jeweled mandala to you, precious guru. Yedam guru rana mandala gam niradayami. I take refuge until I am enlightened in the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Through the merit I create by listening to the Dharma, may I attain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. I take refuge until I am enlightened in the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Through the merit I create by listening to the Dharma, may I attain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. I take refuge until I am enlightened in the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Through the merit I create by listening to the Dharma, may I attain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. Nanje jadan zodi jonam la janjo badu dani jazu ji dagi jinye ji bezo nanje jola benje zanje rubajo. Sanye jo dan zo ji jo nam la jan jo ba do da ni ja zi ji da gi ji ni ji be da nan ji jo la be ji san ji ju ba jo. All right, the dogs are here. That's good. I knew you were all, just couldn't wait for that. Okay, so what I was saying is that today the topic will be how we as lay persons, and really as any individuals, because, you know, reincarnate lamas even could have wealth that they, you know, have in their next life and have palaces, you know, can you, while maneuvering through this life, develop renunciation? Or is this something that you just aspire to the next time that you, you know, can kind of give everything up and go live in the woods? So that's the question for today. You know, where, what is necessary? Okay, come on, let's go. Can we, Mila, come on. Come on, Mila. Just for like 30 minutes. I know you love him. Come on, let's go. All right. So I'm going to ask Rinpoche a series of questions, and just he'll respond to those questions. And then we'll have question and answer. And then next week we have the White Tara initiation. So yeah, so let's get through this topic discussion, and then we'll do the prayers and so forth after question and answer, and then we'll go offline and maybe about some other things. And if anybody has any questions, at the end, I'll go over just a summary of what we're going to do moving forward kind of quickly. So everybody who's watching via Zoom kind of knows what's coming next. If you're watching it on YouTube on a recorded basis, you'll know what's coming next because it's all of this is being recorded. So, so we'll start with the topic discussion. Okay, Rinpoche, the tearing ngatsu the genye. Natsu leka yure, natsu pama da ama yure, sa kashe pugu yure, leka mambuku. Dene, the natsu dutsu sheda yomare, san san sanlo da, the sanlo chi, natsu dutsu sheda mambo yomare, gangisena natsu kala sagu, leka drogu, pugu ropa chegu, dene ni kergu, dene dutsu mambo zindu. Then chera lapcha gare. Then Nepa Joan Kandre J Togudu. The Nepa Joan J Togudu. The Genye Leka Yuna. The Kamba Chembo Yuna. Nepa Joan J Togudu. Then the Lapja Gare. Then the Rinpoche. The Natsu, the Leka Drona, the Nyampichu Kandre Nyalanche. Gare Sanoda. The motor dung, the nabichu kandre, kandre che, got it, son of the
only the son of the
got it,
only
Ale
mother, but no, as you teach what the son of
the denchy, the got it,
son, as you teach what
denchy, me Jason. Okay, so I asked Rinpoche that as you know, individuals who have to work and have to attend to daily things. Is it possible to develop renunciation in, you know, when you have things and you have money and you have to take care of children and have to take care of parents and four pit bulls? I didn't say that, but, you know, how it seems like if you have to eat and then you have to sleep and then you have to do all of that, it seems like there isn't time to really practice. How do you do that? How do you, what do you do? Can you develop renunciation? So that was the first question. He said yes. And then I said, how? And he said, you have to see. That was Daki Daki Che. He said, you have to see. So I then asked him how, when one would be driving a car or working, one could practice Dharma. And he said, well, you would meditate on the emptiness of the situation. So the emptiness of the car and the impermanence of the car. And you would apply all of the reasoning that you know about the Dharma while you're simultaneously engaged in those activities of life. So it's not that the Dharma becomes a separate kind of event. The Dharma is what we do every moment we're alive, because we're creating karma, right? Every moment that we're here, virtuous, non-virtuous, and neutral. And the virtuous karma could be karma that, The virtuous karma could be karma that gives rise to more cyclic existence and happiness, or just liberation from the Hinayanist or lesser vehicle perspective, or full Buddhahood. So not only do we have these varieties of actions every moment that we're engaging in, virtuous, non-virtuous, and neutral, those all give rise to varying effects, degrees of effect, and the potential for the effect really depends on the motivation and the aspiration behind it. So we have every moment that's passing, we're creating some kind of potential experience or a kind of non-neutral state. But a lot of it, because we're thinking, you know, and for myself, I know that my mind's pretty much engaged in what isn't Dharma mostly. And I'm acting, and I'm maybe not being as mindful as I could. So there's always activity I know that I'm engaging in every, moment by moment. And I don't always remember to, you know, try to set my motivation before sleeping. So then my sleep isn't necessarily always virtuous. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to create suffering, a lot of opportunities to create happiness. And we just have to look at what we're doing at any given moment in time. If we're trying to improve the potential for us to become Buddhas or not in that moment. And the way that we would do it driving a car is we'd say that the driver is empty, the car is empty, the driving itself is empty. You know, the road is empty. You know, our hand, you know, and then we would, well, why am I empty? Is the eye my head? Is the eye my hand? Locate the eye, and then the eye is not non-existent. You see that it's a nominally designated thing on top of a collection. So you can do that while you're driving a car and not crash, you know, because you're fully engaged in the driving if you're thinking in those terms. So it's not like a space out thing. Meditation and analysis, there's nothing spacey about it. It's like a razor. It's like a lightning bolt. It's clear. It's not something that's hazy and uncertain. It's something that's very focused. So Rinpoche, then the Ngatsu Leka Che, Chena, the Sanlo Garyube. So I asked him when we're working what we could think about. And he said, well, everybody individually has to look at what that would be. Depending on your scope, depending on what is really your aptitude and their ability at that moment would depend. I mean, there's some people who, you know, are cutting a carrot, right? And just see that, oh, this, you know, can see the dependent origination right then and there. And other people, you know, make aspirations to the Buddha to be able to understand dependent origination while they're cutting a carrot and don't even connect that, the parts and the naming and any of that. So Buddha taught to scope. Buddha didn't teach everyone the same thing. So I guess when you're people who are working wouldn't think of the same thing in order to practice Dharma while they're working. So let's go to question and answers, because it's also very hot. And Rinpoche is watching Kala run around the yard after a tennis ball right now, which is, see, we can barely see the screen too, so it's not as engaging because of the outside. But let's do question and answer. Rinpoche, Nepa Jowa, the Kamba Chembo Yuna, Nepa Jowa, the Che Todo, the Andre, Sanlo Gari. So even if you live in a big house, you can develop renunciation by thinking of the reasons why you would want to definitely get out. So that's what Rinpoche said. He said you would, no matter where you are or what you have, you still think of the reasons why you want to get out. You know that that big house and the things of luxury that you have are the suffering of change. They eventually will be a source for suffering because of the impermanent nature of them. And we have the suffering of suffering and the pervasive compounded suffering. Even though we live in this big house, we don't know if we'll be there in a half hour. I mean, you know, we may be being rushed off in an ambulance in 30 minutes and the house is someone else's big house. You know, so renunciation isn't about living in the forest with nothing. Rinpoche has told the story many times of the person who read the book on the life story of Milarepa, and then we'll get to questions. And the Ngama Rinpoche, the Chan, the Loju, the Pula, the Mechi, the Milarepa Loju, Lobjung Sheso, then Kon Chala Kanga Yushuso, Chala Kanga Tsonso, then Kon Ri, the Dropa, the Chenso, then Dunda Ni. The Dronche Yanje Leso, the Milarepa Becha Yabio, Nechala Kanga Yuso. So, anyway, Rinpoche tells the story of a Tibetan that reads the life story of Milarepa and gives away all of his belongings and then goes up to a cave to go meditate. And just after reading this one time, has what's this kind of sugar cane renunciation, kind of sweet on the outside. It happens to us when there's a tragedy or when things start to heat up in life. And then it usually, like the spirituality, after things get really hard in life and then they get better, the spirituality kicks in. Because when they're really hard and the spirituality would really work, I know that I usually just dwell in the like circle of it, you know, and breaking that circle, that chaos with the Dharma. Is easier to do looking back than it is in the turmoil. And then it scares me to know that, because what happens in the bardo, right? Like if I can't handle like a little of this and that here and there, what am I going to do when I die? And I'm in an intermediate state where nothing makes sense. So it just tells me I have to practice. And, you know, 25 years ago, I guess I wouldn't have seen that chaos was happening. I would have just thought that I was practicing maybe, you know, would have maybe somehow thought that I was like practicing Dharma when I was like engaged in complete mental illness around attachment and so forth. And I say mental illness, I mean it like we all are, in the case that we grasp at true existence. That's not well. We see things that are contaminated as pure, and we make a lot of decisions based on this kind of misinformation. So when I say that, you know, I don't want to in any way, you know, it seemed like I'm joking about mental illness or talking about specific diagnosis. I'm speaking about the illness of the mind that sees everything wrong all the time. You know, that's what I mean. So I want to qualify that. So the guy gives away all of his stuff, right? And he goes up into a cave and he's there 2 weeks. And, you know, no one sees him in town. They all have his stuff. And he comes back down from the mountain and he says, this Milarepa character is terrible. He said, this isn't real. And he says, now I don't have anything. I don't have any of my stuff. And so the moral to that story is that going and putting yourself in a cave in the middle of nowhere doesn't just make your grasping at your things go away. It doesn't give you Milarepa's renunciation because you go on retreat. Because you go to a seven-day Vipassana retreat and come out. I've heard of a lot of like big realizations happen after that. And it's clarity, but the realizations that are necessary to stay in a cave the rest of your life and be content, because you definitely want to emerge. And day and night, all you can do is think about it, getting out of cyclic existence, is different than reading something and being inspired and then, you know, making a major life decision on it. So Rinpoche and I always say, like, make sure when you're going to make a major life decision. Rinpoche was a lot more, careful around some of those things in the earlier days around ordination and things of that nature. But it's really important when you're making these major life decisions that you're staying mindful in what your real aptitude and potential is, and what really is best for you as a human being in this kind of set of bones, right? Like we have this continuum, but we're in this life as Jeff. So what's best for Jeff may not be what's best for everybody, or what looks like is the highest spiritual thing someone could do. And I shot for that at first. You know, I kind of like became very overly excited about the Dharma. Not that it's not exciting, but I became in an attached way, in almost like I was listening to rock music way. And I was like really, really into it, and really into highest yoga tantra and all that stuff. And I realized that I was just batting way, way out of my league. You know, I was like thinking that I was something that I wasn't. And I had to pull the reins back and figure out who Jeff was and what would be the best for him. Not, you know, speaking in a weird way, but, you know, it isn't the race to the top for me. It isn't. It's been with this slow and steady kind of path that's working. So anyway, I just wanted to share that because we're talking about renunciation. I don't have it, but I definitely want to get out a lot more than I used to. I can say that for sure, that the Dharma has touched my mind in a way that I want to get out more than I did. And I want to help others more than I did. Maybe I don't, doesn't look like it, like conventionally, like out there. Like I used to be very big on like everyone seeing me helping lots of people and like going here and like, I don't know, just a lot of like fanfare stuff. So I maybe it doesn't, my activities don't seem it as much, but internally I feel a little bit better than I did 25 years ago. So, all right, question and answer. That's my sharing for the day.
Go ahead, Coleman.
Okay, sorry guys. I was wondering if it's possible to, when you die, instantly get reborn without going through the bardo.
Rinpoche, the Mekonga, the Cheka Lama, Shina, Mekonga, bardo, Yuna, Yimbi Macha. Mekonga, bardo, Yuba, my. Bardo. Jewa Shima, Jewa Ngama, the Bardo.
B44.
The Jewa Kanga, Bardo, Yurube.
Thank you.
The Chekalanga, Meshina, the Kanga, Bardo, Yurube.
I think it was H7.
Yeah. Then Shansen Papa Bardo Yurube. Kanga. Senchen Kanga Yin Bardo Yurube. So there's always an intermediate state, Rinpoche is stating. No matter, even I said, even a superior bodhisattva has an intermediate state. And he said yes. There is an intermediate state, a bardo for all rebirths. Now the length of time is not definitive. Could be instantaneous, like a moment or something, right? I don't know if Lobsang's there, if I asked it correctly, if there's a more technical way to say it or ask it. I was curious about that instantaneous hell. You know, does instantaneous mean no bardo? But apparently Rinpoche is saying no. All beings have an intermediate state between births.
So like you were thinking about, it could be maybe as long as only like 30 seconds. Possibly, maybe.
There's, I think, 65 or 64, depending on what you read, moments in a second, right?
Wow. So
it could be a second, maybe. I don't know. I'm not a scholar of the Abhidharma or any of this, but.
I just read.
Bardo, KG Chi. So if he said, if there are those instantaneous things that happen very quickly, if you have a very large amount of non-virtue, then you wouldn't stay in that intermediate state very long. It's depending on the degrees. When we speak of degrees, right? Then Gewa Chembo Yuna, the Bardo, the Dutsu Mambo Yomare. Oh, and the same would be true for virtue. But right, like, so the debate should, the chura would start, like, right? So there may be bodhisattva Aryas, right, that want to stay in the bardo somehow. I don't know. There maybe is there a case of that? I don't know. So that's the answer for today. That's my question for today.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Is there, you know, are there beings to help in the intermediate state? Because you see beings that look like you. Can the bodhisattva like address them?
Guide
or
them?
Like images that you're seeing?
For sure.
Bodhisattva. Rinpoche, the Shanchu Semba. Shansen Papa, the Bardo you. Then Bardo, Semchen Yurbe. Shanchu Semba, Konsu Ropa Che Tugudu. Bardo Semchen. The Shanchu Sembi Papa, the Bardo Yurbe. Then Bardo Dena, Senchen Yurbe. Bardo La. Then Shanchu Semba, the Bardo Dekan Ropa Che Tugudu. Yeah, so the Bodhisattva can help beings. Rinpoche said there are sentient beings in the bardo, and bodhisattvas can help them. So that's just the question I had. So can they put on the bardo? Is there a reason? Yeah.
I just wanted
to have a lot of virtue. Does that mean you have to have a short stay? Is what I was trying to get at.
Right, right. I was just
bodhisattvas got a little bit because of their aspiration and compassion, a little bit more control.
It's just that's not funny, I guess, but it does sound a little bit like purgatory, where are you judged? Like, is there something that actually judges you, or
no? It's just a causes and conditions and arisal. It sometimes takes time for the arisal of your body in your next life for the cause.
So there's not like this dude and
father that have karmic connections to you to have a baby. You know what I mean? All that stuff. It's just a very, very complex set of causes and conditions and effects.
Okay.
Terry wrote in a question. He says, I remember reading a story about a monk whose student questions attachment to a particular teacup, to which the teacher answered something to the effect that he sees the teacup as already broken. So how does Rinpoche understand this story in terms of attachment and renunciation?
The loju, the chewa de yore, the ngama ngama loju yore, the lama chi getru kon sha leso. Then the nima dakpar, the lama, the ducha, yabu yomare, the chigadu, ducha shedan, timu, ducha yabu yomare chigadu. Then getru leso. They get you the lama la chiwa jaso. Chiran gayu yure. They gayu de chiran sheda gagudu. Chishina chiran ducha yure. Then a lama lanjaso. Nge san sampa de gayu chaso. Donda garde. The loju chandu. He doesn't know the story. So what's he think of the meaning of it? He says it's broken. I mean, I could fish it out right now. You know what I mean? In terms of like, maybe he's just saying it's empty. It's already broken. It's in pieces. It's a collection of parts that come together that are nominally designated as cup. I just see this thing that's broken into pieces that I use. You know, maybe he's just talking of the emptiness. The Rinpoche, the Getru Leso. The Getru Lama Chiwa Jaso, the Chiran, the Gayu, the Shera Gagudu, the Lama Ngega, then the Chishina Chiran Ducha Yure, the Lama Lanjaso, the Gayu, Konga Chakso, Nge Tsampa, Dunda Gare, Toni, Chishin, Dendel, the Dendel Jun. Yeah, so emptiness, right? The dependent origination, Rinpoche said. If you could apply the idea of dependent origination and emptiness to that story, it would be good. He said, if you could think of that, it would be good.
Okay, next questions. We have Alessandra and then Stasha.
Okay. Let me see if I can bring the big view up.
Good morning. So my question is actually
Oh, it works. Yeah, it's doing it.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So my question is actually a piggyback off of Coleman's. So is there the, because to my understanding, and I could be wrong, time is somewhat of an illusion. So time here and time in the bardo, is it the same, or is what's instantaneous here an eternity in the bardo, or what's an eternity here instantaneous in the bar? You know what I mean? Is there any? Well,
okay, so in terms of, let me just make sure we're talking about the same thing. In terms of this human realm and the time that we see it as,
yes.
So when we say what a day is, you know, a day in a God's realm is not the same as a day here.
Yes.
You know, yeah. It could be, you know, more, depending on the realms, it could be more or less, right?
Right.
Depending on where you're staying. So the Rinpoche, right. The Bardo, the Dutsu, the Shapu Chi, the Dutsu, the Ngatsu Me, Dutsu, Chipa Dets Kakare, Drapudu, Yene, the Hla, Shapu Chi, Me, Shapu Chi, Chipa Yomare. Nene, the Ngawa, Se Chi, Sansan, the Me, the Se Chitong Yomare. Yeah, so it depends on the individual's karma in terms of how they experience time. He said, but it's similar. The way time works, you know, it passes, you know, yes. Whether, you know, it's comparatively what they call a day in the God's realm. If it's 1,000 days for a human, it's still time moving forward. A day is 2 days, 3 days. It doesn't go day one, day minus 10, day 25, because of cause and effect, it yeah. happens in an order. You know what I mean? You know, yes. cause, result. But in yes. terms of the karma that is created, that creates the span yes. of what we name as day or hour or week. I don't know if they have hours and weeks. And they probably, the Lam Rim breaks it all down. I know they do. Pabunka gets into it. And it's like, oh, this many days and that many places and mm-hmm. but really what's relevant is what we're experiencing now and knowing mm-hmm. that if, you know, we think a day is bad, well, you have 1,000 bad days for a bad day in hell.
Yeah.
So if you create non-virtue, you want 1,000 of those at a time, you know what I mean? Or do you want 1,000, you have a happy day, you want 1,000 of those at a time? I mean, it's really as simple as that, you know, but it happens in a sequence, you know, it never goes backwards or rounds back to previous life, and your consciousness is always moving forward because it can't logically do anything but that.
Yes.
Cause, effect, moving, cause, condition, cause, effect. There's no other way but for it to be the next thing that happens because it's not permanent, right? So correct. When we say time, we're already saying impermanence, right? Yes. We're already assuming, we already know there's impermanence if we say time. Because
yes.
it ticks into the future, according to Steve Miller. So it just keeps ticking. But time is always moving. So if we say there's time, then we're assuming that, you know, there will be a later. And if there's a later, you know, then we're starting to see, you know, impermanence if within it. And we see cause and effect because later has to come from before.
Yeah.
And then we start to see dependent origination of time that the next moment is dependent on the previous moment. And correct. This continuum is nominally designated as my consciousness, but it's this collection of things that come together that are always moving forward, always creating virtue, non-virtue, or neutral, and possibly purifying or not, right? Or just kind of wading in the water.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you.
I never think my jokes land. Thank you.
Go ahead, Stasha.
Good morning. Thank you for the teaching, Jeff, and Rinpoche, Lori, for making this all possible.
Where'd you go? Oh. Now you have no talking.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm new to technology. My question is about working and being a good Buddhist practitioner in the conventional world. And ultimately,
she hears, Suma hears your voice and she's going berserk right now.
Hi, Suma. being a Buddhist practitioner in a conventional world, and ultimately you would like to have a job helping people with a company that does good things always. But karma being what it is, you create it, you make others create it, or you rejoice in the creation of. Somehow, if you work for a company and they do something that hurts others or animals, but you don't do it directly, are you somehow responsible? For example, like for a chemical company, if I worked for a chemical company, would I get some of that negative karma, even though I'm not doing it directly, but I know that I'm working for a company like a lawn care company that, you know, kills animals.
Okay. Rinpoche, the Stasha Chewayuri.
Yeah.
Then Kon, the Leka, the Tsongpa Kashe, the Leka, that's Duchadu, Senchen Segudu, then the Drata, the Sata. Then the do shagudu, then tsitsi seudu. Then the tsongpa, the lake agenda, lake arana, then nga lake chena, nga deepa sagudu. Gangisena, the company, the senchen seudu, made semchen nugudu. Nga the company, lake chena, nga le sagudu.
Le the sagudu, shuru, chidongmas.
Then the kon semchen rama sena suchupi le sagdue. Then the company, the suchuna, kon leka chena, suchupi le sagamare. Then the kon shena, the tsompa, the company, yapi omare, kon shena, leka sarpa ragu. Okay, so. When you're working for a company that's, for instance, can you be guilty by association? So I asked Rinpoche, you know, do you get the karma of killing if like your company kills, but you aren't involved in it? He said, no. I said, but if you know that this is what's going on, is it something that you should try to get a different job? And he said, it would be good if you could. Nene, then the company, Deepa Sa, Nga Shena, Nene, Nga Digare, then Nga Ngulan, Lake Chena, Deepa Det Sagudu, Gangisin, the Musen, Nasen, Musen Yomaribe. Yeah, so if there's no harmful intent, and I was asking if I was trying to figure out, you know, what karma is created if you're working for a company you know is bad, but you're not doing bad. And your motivation's not bad. And he's saying that you're not creating the bad karma. But if you could get a different job, it'd be better. But if your motivation isn't to poison the land and kill the animals, you're just trying to make a living. You know, that seems to be what he's swaying towards. But he didn't say anything definitively. I mean, you're not rejoicing. You haven't, you know, identified a sentient being you want to be killed, you know, out of attachment, hatred, or ignorance. You haven't then killed that sentient being, and you haven't rejoiced in the killing of it. So in terms of killing, in terms of harmful intent, you haven't, you know, had the sentient being you focused in on, you want to, you know, them, because of attachment, you don't like them or something, you want them to be harmed, and you rejoice in the fact that you want them to be harmed. You know, those kind of things aren't really happening. So it takes some real specific activities to connect to that kind of karma. But I'm sure it could be debated that there's some subtlety. You know, if you like say out of attachment for $4,000 or more a year, you're willing to sell the chemicals instead of selling the environmental good stuff. You know, I'm sure it gets murky in there, you know, but in terms of raw data, that's the raw data. I was going to work at Starbucks or the butcher's office,
Jeff, I have a question. It's a follow-up to Stasha's question. What about whistleblowers? You know, they're a whistleblower in a company. So they're, you know, shining light on truth that about something bad someone did, the owner of the company. So they're, you know, could potentially destroy the life of that owner in terms of their business and their finances and supporting their family. But at the same time, that whistleblower, you know, I guess
it's going to have to be a real specific circumstance. And okay. Like, you need to know, like, all right, what'd the person do? You know, wait, like, because Rinpoche is in a logician. So he's got to know, like, real specifically, like, what the circumstance is. Then he'd need to know how it really affects their other family, how it affects your family. You know, is the harm reduction model is always the model. But what that means is dependent, you know, in every circumstance. So Rinpoche, how did whistleblower telling, if you tell other people, the Rinpoche, Konchiwa de, ngatsu leka yure, de ngatsu leka jenda me ducha, ngatsu shena, police lana yabudue. So I asked if we know our boss is doing something bad, if we should tell the police, and he said no. So that's what, but if he probably heard more of the story, conventional stuff is tough, you know, because if he gives an advice and says, yeah, tell, and then the police come and, you know, what you told wasn't exactly what was happening. It was your perspective and their, you know what I mean? And now somebody's lost their whole livelihood, you know, but it's usually not the case. They usually should be blown. Conventionally, that's been my experience, but.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry, I apologize. We can't get more out of that than that.
No, I understand. Do you have time for one more question?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Coleman.
So Jeff, just wanted a curious question. If someone is like, has achieved the path of seeing and so they can't fall back, does that mean that they can't have bad lives and suffer in bad lives in the future, or all their lives in the future
going to
be
happy lives? No lower realms ever again.
But are the lives that they have in the future going to be happy, or are they still going to be mixed with like suffering?
They're in cyclic existence. So define happiness.
Okay. Touché.
You know what I mean? Even if they've seen emptiness, they still have the suffering. The Shanchu Senbi Papa, Dungyao Dungyao Yurube. Shansen Papa. The Ju Dungyao Yurube. Chapa Doje and Dungyao Yurube. Yeah, so they have the suffering still, up until Buddhahood. Not the coarse suffering that we're familiar with, but there's still suffering because. At a minimum, all beings have the pervasive compounded suffering. They're forced into rebirth. It's just their forcing is virtuous forcing. Right on? Make sense?
Yeah, sorry, Jeff.
Philosophy or?
Yeah, philosophy. Thank you so much. Yeah, Jeff. I guess that makes sense. It's just that I think, okay, yeah. For now, yeah, that makes sense.
You still have the great of the great, the great of the medium, the great of the small, things to get through, obstacles to get through to become a Buddha. So those things, obstacles, are called obstacles. They're, you know, they're things that have to be overcome. So you're overcoming things still. All right. So just a quick announcement. Next week, we have the Waitara initiation. The week after that, we're going to start the text, the Madhyamika Avatara, the Chandrakirti's entrance to the middle way. So we were in the sixth chapter of that, and we were 120 stanzas in or so, 121, something like that. And we are going to just pick up where we left off. It used to be a first Wednesday teaching. We're no longer doing First Wednesday. And so we want to make sure we complete that text. So we're going to complete that text, which is the root text for the next text that we're going to start to look at. Chandrakirti's Entrance to the Middle Way is the root text for what is called Illuminating the Intent by Lama Tsongkhapa. It's the Umagoma Rapso. Illuminating the Intent has been translated into English by Tupten Jimba, Wisdom Publications. So I really urge everybody to get that text. I can't promise that it'll be very, very easy to read, but at least something, if you could even just get the imprint of reading it, it would be virtuous. So we're going to address that text in some way, three times a month. We'll still have the first, we'll still have the second Sunday of the month, White Tar Initiation. But after we finish Entrance to the Middle Way, we'll move on to Illuminating the Intent in some form or another. And yeah, that's it. And yeah, I think that's it. Let's do the concluding prayers and then we'll go off recording. And just, I wanted to just mention a couple things. It's the easiest way because we're all, I think, here. All right. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I've collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozandrapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In the pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All powerful Avalokiteshvara, Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Rinpoche, Gutsi Shabi Denrona. Okay.